Hey, good morning, Solomon's Porch. Hope your week has been good. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your mercies anew every morning. Lord, we love you. We pray that you open our ears to hear your words. We pray that the psalm stands out and speaks into the depths of our spirits, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your righteousness shines like the noonday sun. And Lord, we just ask that we ourselves also reflect your righteousness, Lord. Lord, blessed be your name. We love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 72. It's quite a long psalm. But perhaps just close your eyes and meditate as I read out Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is actually written by, well, who we most scholars believe it's written by King David. It was written by King David, really, for his son, King Solomon, as a prayer that he will inherit these righteous attributes of God, and that he would govern and rule with a righteous heart. But it's also, if as you listen to this, it's also a psalm prophesying about the future kingdom of God. And so it's a very it's a prophetic psalm, really, but at the same time, a psalm that talks about the very present time that we live in. So it's a unique psalm, but it's a beautiful psalm about righteousness. So here is Psalm 72. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and he will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish, an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him also who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live. And the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon. And those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You know, I desire righteousness. And I think we all do, in inwardly. How do we know that? I think if you look at the present times, we desire a great government. We desire good governance. Whether the governance is in a corporate, whether the governance is over a city, a nation, a country, we want to vote for, and we want in place a government which is fair and just and righteous. Do we not? We talk about welfare. We talk about justice. And so does the psalm. David is asking for a ruling government that will establish righteousness with mercy as well and with grace. And we want, in essence, a perfect environment for us to live and thrive, somewhere where it's fair. But we don't have this perfect governance right now. We know that because from the smallest of things to the biggest, to the things that matter to us personally, we know we live in a fallen world. The Bible tells us we live in a fallen world. How do we know that? Well, we know. Maybe some of you are experiencing this. Maybe those who do good work are promoted, are not promoted. Those who have the merits are overlooked, whereas those that have no merits could arrive at their positions at work or in government. If you know farmers, they always worry as well because they spend a lot of hard work toiling the ground and putting the seeds in, but there is no guarantee that there will be a harvest. There's a possibility that the crop is destroyed by pestilence or by the weather. There's no guarantee that whatever you put in will come out as good, right? We know that, and it translates into all areas of our lives, and so we see that this imperfection and this injustice is prevailing in the world, and we inwardly cry out. We inwardly want to live in a world where there is such mercy. There is somebody, a king, to look after our welfare, right? A king that will, as the psalm says, look over and have mercy and fill the needy and the poor. In fact, the state of affairs has severely limited our freedom, right? Our freedom to trust in relationships, even to invest in relationships, because we're so uncertain about the long-term future. We know that there is no guarantee of a good life at all. And so it forces us sometimes to invest or to care most in the short term rather than the long term. And when we do only focus on the short term rather than the long term, we end up failing, perhaps even as people. We end up failing in our relationships. There may be short-term gain, but overall in the long term, we only add to the injustice and the unrighteousness that is here on earth. But if you think about the kingdom which David is writing about, it's not just a kingdom where people are saved and people are healthy and there's a great government. It's also a picture of complete freedom. It's a picture of complete freedom and security in the way we can go about living, right? Because there's ultimate security in everything and anything that we do. Every single endeavor that we put our efforts to will not go away in vain. It won't be stolen and taken away from us. There will be just rewards for those who are righteous. And there will be consequences for those who are evil. I think how many times do we get so worked up when we see an injustice, whether it's in our friendship circles, whether it's in the news, whether maybe even it's at church, or whether it's at work, and we just yell inwardly about that injustice not being corrected. And that just severely limits the way we are free to go about expressing ourselves or perhaps going about our lives, because we are afraid as well that injustice doesn't go unpunished. It doesn't. And so we're afraid that we can be the subject of such injustice, or perhaps we ourselves are the subject of injustice. And that doesn't just stop at the injustice that people inflict upon people, but there's also the injustice of illnesses. And we've been hit so severely by COVID. But besides COVID, there's all kinds of illnesses as well. We know there are such mindless and senseless illnesses such as and diseases around the world. And there's no explanation. And we could be praying and asking for healing and it could not happen as well. But we continue praying and we continue pressing in. We continue seeking the mercy of God. But in this kingdom, which David writes about, there is that assurance. There is that assurance because David talks not just about an earthly kingdom, but about the kingdom of God, I believe. We know that the kingdom of God, there will be no sickness. There will be no more tears, and our tears will be wiped away. And so inwardly, we yearn for that. The Bible says we inwardly yearn to be away from our bodies. Right, we yearn for the kingdom of God. We yearn for that righteousness to come into our lives and for it not to be just temporary, but for it to be forever. Because it's only in the eternity of righteousness that we can have true security. And so you would ask, well, when will that righteousness come? When will this eternal righteousness come to us? And perhaps some of us know the answer. The answer is, well, when Jesus returns, that righteousness will return in itself. But do we have to then wait for Jesus to come before we can truly enjoy and live in this freedom of righteousness? Well, if you remember, Jesus also said to his disciples when he asked, where's the kingdom of God? Jesus said something very profound. He said, the kingdom of God is amongst you. The kingdom of God is amongst you. Or in other translation, it says, the kingdom of God is within you. And this was when Jesus was still present in physical form on earth. And so it bewildered many people in that time. In fact, it still bewilders myself and a lot of believers. How can it be that the kingdom of God is a kingdom which has yet to come and yet is already here? Effectively, that's what Jesus was saying, is saying. The kingdom of God is both here and now, but also yet to come. I think my personal view about this is that that is exactly where we can find solace and comfort, but also be bold, encouraged, and have that strength to persevere. Because the kingdom of God has already begun. The kingdom of God doesn't begin when Jesus returns. The kingdom of God has already started. As we live here and now, the kingdom of God has already started. Does that mean that we see breakthroughs all the time, that we see good things happen every time we pray? Not necessarily. But does it mean that we don't care, that nothing good can come out of this present situation? At the same time, no, absolutely not. It means that we continue to pray because now we have access to God through Jesus. Now we have access to his healing, his mercies. Yes, we live in this in-between time. But it's encouraging because I believe that nothing that comes out from our lips goes unnoticed. Everything starts counting from here and now. Both the good and the bad. Our prayers are definitely heard. Every single thing that we do for God is seen, even if it cannot be materialized here on earth. It is counted. It is recorded in the kingdom of God. And what does this mean? Well, I believe that if we go back to the scenario where the people who desire good and to do good are not rewarded here on earth, they will be rewarded in heaven. In the same way, as we seek, whether it's healing, whether it's a breakaway from injustice, and we don't get it now, it will be returned to us 100-fold in the kingdom of God. But we must press in. And we must press in because the kingdom of God is amongst us. You know, I have this personal theory that the more we pursue this righteousness that King David writes about, the more we pursue this righteousness and this justice here and now, the greater it will be amplified in the kingdom to come. And we can't be discouraged when we see little or no results of our efforts here on earth. We know that the one who is in us is greater than the evil that is in the world. He, the Lord, is the overcomer. And he's watching over us and sees every single thing. And nothing is wasted. No tear is wasted. No prayer is wasted. Even if we can't see it, we must press in. And we continue to pursue this. It is not just for our own good, but there's also, I believe, a warning for us, a reminder that the pursuit of righteousness, the pursuit of justice, is what King David is praying for his son, is something where we have a responsibility as Christians to do. We don't have to take things into our own hands. We don't have to take revenge anymore because we can trust in the Lord, because his kingdom has already begun and he sees. He is the God who sees. He will redeem and he will restore. But there's a reminder that we must keep doing good. If we look and remind ourselves about the parable of the talents, we know that the judge or God had praised two of the workers who had managed to invest their talents and return or double their talents. But there was one of them who didn't return a multiple. And that was because that worker had been scared about the fact that, and in his words, he said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, I have what's yours." In effect, I think what this can be seen as is this fear that in this slightly twisted generation, you know, there are certain injustices that could hinder us and make us afraid of going out and pursuing that righteousness, of using our opportunities, using our influence, using whether it's our money, our time, or anything to pursue and return something for the kingdom of God. And God actually says that that is a wicked thing to do. God actually rewards those who had invested into the kingdom of God. And he says, enter the joy of your Lord. And the most amazing thing is also that God said to those who had actually invested, he said, "You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." So God talks about ruler over many things, ruler being the ruler in the kingdom of God. And so there is a here and now in how we decide to use everything that we have to pursue that righteousness and the time to come. Nothing is wasted and nothing goes unrecorded by God. But those who are afraid of the injustice that we fear now and we fail to act, there is a reckoning as well. So this is a reminder that not only do we receive comfort and encouragement when we face injustice, it's also a reminder that we ourselves have to be those agents of change, those agents of righteousness. We have a responsibility, we have an obligation as we come to God. In Matthew 25, we also hear about that the Son of Man will judge the nations. Right? And we hear about how God, when he sits on his throne, will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And so we see that the kingdom of God has already begun. This righteousness is both our here and now, and it will lead on into the life to come. And in the same way, the flip side is that when we fail to act, it's an injustice. It's an injustice to the world that we live in, because we had the opportunity to allow the righteousness of God to shine through us. It's a tragedy, really, because we have been given such an important mandate from God as we come into the light. We are promised both the blessing right here, right now on earth, but more importantly, in the world to come, we are promised that blessing. But we are also told that we must be careful, because in Matthew 25 and verse 41, the king then turns to those on the left and he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for his devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And then they will answer him, right? And the flip side is given back to these people. It's actually quite a chilling thought. It's actually quite a chilling thought. It's a thought that sobers us. It's a thought that makes us think that on the one hand, as we, you know, look to the government now, we look to people in authority, or even as we look to God now for his justice, for their correction, and we complain and we pray about these things, we ourselves mustn't forget that we as individuals also have the same responsibility to do and to act when the opportunity arises. We cannot hide our talents. We cannot hide and think that whatever we do in this twisted generation will have no effect. You know, some people say, "Well, there's nothing much we can do. Everything that we do is kind of wasted because, you know, this world is doomed to fail anyway. You know, this world is corrupted by sin. You know, there's nothing that we need to do." And sometimes some people even use words like, "Well, Jesus always said the poor will always be among you. So we don't really have to give. We don't really have to care. Jesus will take care of that. It's a hard generation anyway. Everybody should look after ourselves." And so this is definitely not the case. And so as we desire for this kingdom to come, we should also reflect ourselves. We should also ask for grace and mercy in our lives, because we may be the recipient of injustice. We may be experiencing some unrighteousness in some shape or form in our lives. But we must also remind ourselves that as we endure this, we must also be brave to conquer this as we continue to live with the righteousness that comes from God through our actions. So let's just reflect on this for a moment as Sterling comes up and leads us in worship. Let's reflect on our lives. You know, I need to reflect on my lives as I even dare to preach such a bold statement. I myself, you know, I may have missed opportunities to stand up for righteousness. I myself have been scared to act in a right manner, because I fear that I will then become the target. But I pray that God will both comfort us in our affliction, but also make us bold in our actions to establish his kingdom amongst us, as Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is amongst us. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. Thank you, Sterling, for leading us in worship.
And the train of his blood fills the temple with love. And the heart of his feet. And the heart of his feet. And the heart of his fear with his glory. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Thank you. just a temporary glory. And now who would have believed? And who would have
Sterling. Let's move into our community prayers. Let's pray for those suffering with cancer and also going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those who are going through various types of illnesses, but also let's pray for them to meet and to know Jesus. Those will pray for those who are suffering from various types of physical infirmities as well. And also members in our church who are going through, recovering from COVID, let's pray for them. and also for protection over the members of our church who are in the front line and medical workers. Let's pray. So also pray for those of us in the community looking for jobs, for new jobs. So move on to our mission focus. I pray for Cambodia, where PJNEO is. Pray for Oasis House. Pray for North Korea and for Open Doors for Ministry in North Korea. Also missional opportunities, new partnerships in Asia. We also continue to remember our brothers and sisters in the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's also lift up the weekend gatherings, lift up the service for tomorrow, Sunday service, pray for the just the well ministry, ministering to our members in the depths of the healing, SB Kids, pray for worship, to be worshiped in truth and in spirit, spirit and in truth, and pray for the hospitality, SBU, spin and spill services and activities, all the outreaches, classes, and the meetings that will be taking place this weekend. So also pray for the pregnancies, time of celebration as well. Pray for the members of our church, the moms who are carrying the babies. And we just pray for a smooth pregnancy. We also pray for the child to be healthy. And we also pray that the moms will heal quickly and completely after the pregnancies. Let's also pray for the gatherings in house church, the last house church before the break, the summer break for the season. So we pray that the house churches will just have a great time of fellowship, reminder of the sermon, and also just to just to praise and worship the Lord together, and pray for opportunities to meet up even during the summer for the house churches. And that will be the end of our EMP. I pray that you will have a blessed time. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for a time just to come together and to focus on who you are and where your kingdom is. We pray that the kingdom of God expands in our hearts. Lord, we pray that there is hope for your future kingdom to come. There is hope, and we continue to have our hopes and our dreams established in that coming kingdom, where you will wipe away our tears, where there will be no longer any unrighteousness and injustice in every shape and form, that we will have true security and ultimate security and freedom in that kingdom. But until that day, Lord, we also seek that that kingdom will break into the lives that we live here and now. We pray that there will be pockets and slithers of hope and rejoicing and worship, perfection, healing, and completeness. We pray that through our prayers here and now, that your kingdom will break in and fill our place and fill our environment and fill our sphere of influence. Lord, may we be these agents of your kingdom. Lord, empower us. Holy Spirit, remind us. Holy Spirit, let us not miss an opportunity to shine forth this beauty and the righteousness of God. Encourage us, embolden us, Lord. Let us not shrink back, and let us not withhold our hand from those in need. Lord, we pray that you will guide us, you will protect us. We will be your disciples here on earth, Lord. And we have complete comfort in knowing that you are the God who sees. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys, and hope to see you around at church. Have a good day. Bye-bye.